Guys, welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Brett Howard, and I've got John Barwin on the line. And today is going to be a really interesting podcast because we've been kind of talking about a bunch of different things and a bunch of different nuances, especially with the Adonis Transformation Contest going on right now and people looking for results. John brought up some interesting points, and I've got a couple of interesting points as well. Did you want to start with anything right off the bat?
My stuff kind of, what I had to comment on kind of comes from your ideas that you were talking about, and it's more of your area of expertise to start with, because that's the conversation you and I were just having about your concepts of social support and where the breakdown is. So I think once you get going on that, which, you know, that's where you're better versed in than I am. So once you get rolling on that, I can, like, it made me think of how what I do fits into it. So if you want to get rolling, and then I can kind of tag along. But this is more your court. This is what you're best at. So kind of, I'm just going to follow your lead here.
Okay. So basically, what we were discussing a little while ago, and why we decided to go ahead and record this, is because I've kind of figured out that there's actually a flaw in what's called social support. And what you'll see a lot of times when people are trying to get you a specific result and saying, hey, you know what, one of the things you definitely need to do if you're trying to lose weight, gain muscle, or whatever your goal is you need to find social support. And I find there's a really big flaw in this kind of thinking, because the assumptions are really valid or kind of invalid. They're really out there. So typically, here's what will happen is that if somebody says, hey, you need to find some social support for your goal, what that means to most people is, okay, I need to go tell all my friends what I'm getting ready to do. And for most people, that completely and utterly backfires. Now, for me, I can give you a couple of examples. Number one is, like, John and I are basically entrepreneurial. And every time I've ever went and told somebody what I was going to do on an entrepreneurial basis, whether I was going to, you know, start putting a website or do whatever, if it was a friend, family, or coworker in general, it would be something like, oh, why are you going to do that? You know, you're just going to end up broke and whatever. That never works for anybody. And so basically all my social support I'm trying to garner, and these people are all my friends and people that care about me, they were really kind of getting my way and actually interfering for the goal that I was trying to do. And so what I've come to realize is that for most people at the very beginning, especially if you're, let's say, trying to lose weight or gain muscle, and especially and most especially if the people around you are not in that same mindset and they're just kind of living life however they are, it's probably better for you. And in fact, I would say for most people, it's going to be better for you to not say anything at all, for you to not actually seek out social support among your peers, because it's really going to get in your way. And this is kind of where the whole concept of covert nutrition, which you can't buy or anything like that, it's something extra we kind of did for our customers, is kind of where this came across, because a lot of people were having issues explaining what they were doing to people, I mean, what they were doing as far as trying to lose weight, especially with something like Eat, Stop, Eat, where you're actually fasting. And Brad Pilon actually brought it up best, where he said, you know, I wish that I never called it fasting. I wish I would have just called it taking a break from eating, because it sounds better. So this is the same thing where you're sitting here and you're going out and trying to get support from people and you're telling people what you're going to do. But in reality, all this does, it gives you a lot of blowback. So my recommendation is for you not to say anything at all. And in fact, I was reading a quote from a guy named David Horvath, and he actually is the creator of the Ugly Dolls. And basically he was saying, you know, he was saying something to the effect of do things that the uncool people would think would be uncool. So basically saying do, like, the most uncool thing you could ever do. And the reason he was saying that is he says this. He says, don't tell anyone what you're up to either. Don't reveal your plan to anyone. Not because it's a secret, but because something in the universe happens when you tell us what you're going to do instead of just doing it. The universe takes it all away and you never start. Tell us what you did, not what you're going to do, and then you'll be fine. And so I've seen this time and time again. We see it every day with our customers and people that we interact with on a daily basis. One of the biggest roadblocks when they're trying to garner social support, because they hear they need social support, you need social support, you need social support, is they're getting a lot of blowback from people who just don't have, number one, the understanding of what they're trying to do, number two, kind of a flawed perception of the actions that they're going to take. And so instead of trying to garner social support, in the beginning, most people are going to be better off just keeping things to themselves until you can find other people like yourself that are trying to do the same things. That's where this gets important. In fact, what you're doing at this point, you're not finding social support as much as you're finding a mastermind group of like-minded people. Just like, and John was mentioning earlier how he's kind of come to grips that he thinks that, and maybe he can describe this a little bit more for you, that we still kind of live in a caste system where you can ask people, you know, do you know anybody that's a millionaire? And, you know, your average person will say, yes, I know some people that are millionaires. But then you can ask the same person, well, how many millionaires do you talk to on a day-to-day basis? And most people would say none. Same thing happens if you said, do you know any bums? People say, yeah, maybe I know one or two. Well, how many conversations do you have with a bum on a day-to-day basis on the telephone? None. Basically, people that are entrepreneurial mastermind with other entrepreneurial people. People that are trying to get in a specific shape, like bodybuilders and people like that, they mastermind and compare notes with other people in that particular realm. That's why when you go to the gym and you ask bodybuilders, and John, you've got experience with this, when somebody would ask somebody who's been doing steroids and things like that, how they got big, they just start rattling off all the, and you actually mentioned this in the actual Adonis Effect book, they start rattling off all of the conventional wisdom or whatever, like eat the meals, do this and do that, because
you're not part of their mastermind group yet.
Right. Yeah. You're not part of that group. You're not part of that collective understanding that knows what is really going on and what everybody's really trying to do. And so kind of our advice and what we're sitting on now is that you shouldn't tell anybody what you're trying to do until you've already done it. Or
go ahead. Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, unless you're in a group or unless it's a person who's also trying to do it.
Right, exactly.
And then the two of you are facing the same challenges together, and you're not going to try to hold each other back.
Right.
And just to be clear, what the Horvath guy, the point, and it's a good point, that his thing about something happens in the universe that takes the power away. To be clear, we're not suggesting that there's some ethereal power that actually like drains energy. What happens is when you tell, it's the whole point of what Brad just said, when you tell people who aren't in a like mind what you're trying to do, they might perceive it as you're leaving them behind or leaving the cast, and they'll pull you back. And then Now you're stuck with the choice. Do I leave these people? Do I make this decision? Do I try to make this change or do I not? It's the same thing with the, you know, an entrepreneur has to be careful mentioning their entrepreneurial ideas to non-entrepreneurs, because those people will just look at it, how risky it is, and to kind of try to talk you out of it, because that's not a life they understand. That's not a path they understand. It's to them, it just doesn't sound like it's good for you. And they may inadvertently hold you back for what they think is better for you based on their fears, not on what you want to do. So I'm just trying to be clear that we're not talking about there's actually some power in the universe. It's just literally when you mention it to somebody and it's not what they do or what they think is a good idea, they might have all the best intentions in the world, but instead they might just be like ruining your spirit and ruining your drive to get it done. And now you're stuck bearing the burden of the choice. Damn, should I do this or not? But then what Brad said, just go do it and then come back and report in with what you did. And now they're stuck with the burden of deciding whether or not to accept you in your new life or not.
Right. And there's another dangerous thing that no one ever thinks about too. And that's the aspect of what I'm going to call chest puffery, where basically what you do is that you go and tell everybody what you're going to do, and those people give you valid. We got cut off for just a second there. I don't know what happened, but basically what we were talking about really quickly, the whole idea that one of the dangerous thing that a lot of people don't really pay attention to is what I'm calling chest puffery. And This tends to happen a lot. I've done it before, and I'm sure other people have done it before. But when you, a lot of times you will actually go to people that you'll tell your idea of what you're going to do. You're like, all right, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to gain some muscle. And there will actually be people that are like, you know, great, that's awesome, man, that sounds good. But the problem with that is that gives you a lot of times that gives you that validation that you're really looking for. You're really looking for that attention and that validation from other people. And so you kind of tossed your, you know, that was the emotional high you were looking for a lot of times. There's no pressure for you to actually perform anymore. So now you've puffed up. People think you're cool. And so now the whole, you don't have to do anything anymore. So that aspect of it, of trying to prove yourself kind of disappears in the same regard. So there's kind of two sides to that at the same time. Not only do you have a specific example where, you know, people can take away what you're, you know, take away, I don't want to say take away your power. That's kind of a vague term, but basically, you know, get in the way of what you're trying to do because they don't have that, you know, they don't have the knowledge or the actual cognizance of what you're trying to do, so they don't have any good advice of what to tell you. So it feels like crabs in a bucket. But then on the other side, you'll have people who are going to support you in any way possible, and they'll say, you know, that sounds awesome, that's great, you know, whatever, and that takes away what you were that was the validation you were looking for. So there's no emotional pull there either. So.
Well, that gets back to your point about, I guess this is a good segue into the attention economy.
Sure.
Because that, I mean, if all you do is spout off about how you're going to lose weight or build muscle and be like, oh, that's great for you, you've absorbed the attention. And like you just said, whereas now, but that's all anyone ever wants anyway is the attention. So now that you have the attention, is there any drive to actually go and get what you just said done?
Yeah, because that's essentially what we're looking at right now. And one of the things I've really been focusing on over the last 6 months is not only why people do what they do, but what's the real currency in the world today? What's really what people are after? And, you know, it's kind of funny because there's kind of this silent war going on right now, and there's more money being spent on this war than there is in the wars of Afghanistan and Iraq and in all of these other wars. And the same war is causing people to become homeless. It's causing a lot of stress and, you know, and strife. It's causing people to not get what they want in life. And that war is over attention and your attention. People are spending, I mean, companies are spending trillions of dollars a year to try to get your attention. Paris Hilton gets paid solely on the fact that she's able to get attention. And so what we're finding now isn't that the most important currency isn't money, and it isn't time, it's attention. And more specifically, where that attention goes. So as a man or as a woman, what you can kind of say, or as a postulate to yourself, if you can grasp this, you're going to be way ahead of the game. But think about it this way. Your most important asset isn't your money or your time, it's your attention and where you choose to place it. And that's important, and that's why you see us a lot of times really talk about getting things down into the bare minimum of you know, like with Adonis, there's one specific focus, and that's maximizing AI. That's where all the attention is going, and there's a reason for that. I mean, not only because of the research, but if you focus your attention on that and that's all you focus on, then a lot of the results – and actions kind of bring about themselves. And you don't have all these other things that you're worried about. You know, it kind of takes care of itself. So I know, I'll go over this stuff in a video at some point and really explain where we're going with this, but that's kind of where it's at, you know, even with this flaw of social support, that, you know, it's, you want the attention of people that or you can kind of mastermind with people that have been there where you've been and that have had achieved the goals that you've achieved and things like that. That's where your attention needs to be as far as social support.
Well, yeah. And then what you just said about money people, companies paying for your attention. That's all advertising is. And the trick is your attention is scarce. Like you can only attend to one thing at a time. This whole idea of multitasking is a load of BS. Like, I mean, that's
sure.
That they've already shown that, you know, psychology research has shown that you can't multitask. You have to be focused 100% on one thing or another. And the illusion of multitasking is just changing your focus in tiny, tiny little intervals, like doing something for 5 minutes and doing something else for 5 minutes. So that's not multitasking. That's just being focused on something for a tiny interval, then something else for a tiny interval. So that you can never be focused on two things. You can only ever focus on one thing. That's the whole reason why talking on a phone while driving a car, actually, even if it's hands-free, it's no safer. It's because your attention's divided between the road and the conversation, and you're bouncing from the conversation or the road or the conversation or the road. You can't do both. So the idea of gaining any kind of leverage or success in any field that you're after, it doesn't have to be, we just try to teach you how to focus your attention in building your best looking body and the social kind of, the social payoff that comes with that. But if your attention, that's just one kind of attention we know how to help channel for you. But your attention's being grasped at and pulled at in all different directions in your whole life, in everything that you're doing. So
right.
The difference is, like, is someone else directing it for you in ways that aren't really productive for you, is it really on target with what you want? I think it becomes obvious when your attention's focused how you really want it, when the results really start turning in for you.
Sure.
And then that kind of walking in the dark feeling and never quite being satisfied with a particular result in a particular field is probably just an indication that you haven't quite figured out where your attention's supposed to be focused. And that's a huge source of stress and frustration because, like Brad just said, you're going to do something anyways. Like you're going to get up every morning. You're going to do something. Like whatever it is, you're going to do something. And, you know, where are you putting your attention and what is it that you're going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm at the point now where I don't believe in action. I don't believe in indecision. I believe that you choose. It's always an active choice. Like if somebody says, if somebody says, oh, well, you're being inactive. Well, not really. I mean, or you're being indecisive. No, you're just making a decision not to make a decision on that subject. So that's still a decision. So here's the other cool thing about this. All right. So if we can make the argument that the failure to focus your attention is probably one of the leading causes of stress. Okay? So, because obviously you're not where you want to be. So let's say that for argument's sake, I don't have any research on this, but I have personal experience, and I was talking to John about this yesterday. There were just so many things yesterday for me that I wanted to, that I had to do. There's just so many things I had to do. That I was actually starting to feel a little stressed. So I actually had to sit back. I had to write down everything that was tugging at my attention. And then I had to look at them and I said, okay, which one of these things represents my highest leverage point? Which one of these things should I do that's going to create the most bang for the buck? And I looked at it. I figured out what to do, or I figured out which one was the highest leverage point. I circled it. And I decided that was what I was going to do. And what happened when that happened, that sounded kind of redundant, didn't it?
But
what
happened
was that all this pressure to do things disappeared. Because here's the funny thing about this, is that when you find a focal point to focus your attention.
You just did it again.
I know. This is great. You know, I'm such
a focal point to focus your attention focus on.
Exactly. That's why people like listen, because I'm just prolific with the words.
Oh yeah. Yep. You're a poet.
Yeah, exactly. But when that happens, when you figure out what to focus on, the action just happens. It's not like you have to take action. It just becomes so obvious of what you have to do that most times you just do it.
Well, the point is, you're going to do something anyways. It's
right.
Not the doing part isn't the hard part. The choosing what to do is the hard part.
Sure, it's like a vacuum. It's like if you were to think of activity as a vacuum, you're going to do something.
Yeah, well,
it's just a matter of what's going to be pulled into that area.
Yeah, it's the analogy. You and me were talking about this like just before this call. We were like when you brought that concept up, I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like you're gonna, it's like for instance, this afternoon, I'm gonna drive down the street and either choose to go to the gym or to a restaurant. Now the focused attention or the focus of where I'm, you know, where am I gonna place my focus? If I go to the gym, well, I can't order a steak there, but I can do a bench press. And if I go to the restaurant, I can't do a bench press, but I can order a steak. So the what happens once I've chosen is going to happen. It's sort of its own thing. I don't have to worry about that. It's the choice in the first place. And that's where do I choose to focus? I'm focusing my attention on the concept of going to a gym and a workout versus going to the restaurant. But I don't have to, there's no emotional labor once I show up. It's just obvious what to do once you show up. And in most people's lives, the emotional labor is just the choice. It's not what to do after. What to do afterwards actually isn't that hard. It's almost never that hard once you get to wherever it is that you're going. It's always the choice.
Yeah, it's really interesting because we're using some really simplistic examples, but this is really how things go. Let's look at a fitness example. Let's talk about let's say MMA or something like that. For somebody that is like, if I was gonna fight, like if my goal was to fight, then it's just obvious to me that if my focus was to win a fight, then and that's where my attention is to win fights, then naturally I'm only gonna do the stuff. I mean, in my head, my self-talk is gonna be like, is this gonna help me win a fight? Is this gonna help me win a fight? Is this gonna help me win a fight?
Yeah, so instead of doing our type of workout, you do fight training,
sure.
and then if you're choosing between, you know, just a day of cardio or another day of fight training style cardio, you'd be like, well, I should probably do my fight training cardio. It's just the initial choice, but you know, then you go online, start reading blogs about what to do, and that's where your attention can get split up, divided, and competed over. For which product's the right product and all that kind of stuff. This all comes back to the attention economy we were talking about earlier and how you've got to be, like, everybody wants your attention and they're going to fight tooth and nail to get it and they're going to try to say the right thing to get it. And if you're not 100% clear on what exactly it is that you want, you could end up reading an MMA blog and that slowly redirects your attention to some other kind of training that has nothing to do with your original goal of just being able to win fights. And you could end up, you know, buying MMA equipment that you never needed. Like, all you wanted to know was how to fight. You didn't care about, like, fancy shoes or like, some other workout routine that doesn't quite fit your goal. So it can be subtle. Like, you can actually be steered off of track just subtly, just through marketers who get your attention because – it sounds like they're in line with your goals, and then they slowly bend you into what's better for them, not you.
Right. It's a perfect. I mean, perfect examples of things. I mean, it's really weird. It's like when you have a specific goal and you start to focus your attention on what you want, and you really focus on that, and you kind of try to weed out everything that doesn't. You know, you kind of make your list of things that are vying for your attention. You find the leverage point that you're looking for. And when you focus on that, it's really weird. Like, all the other people that are focusing on that same thing, they kind of find you. It's really strange. So, like, it doesn't happen overnight necessarily, but you'll start finding people. It's like the red shirts theory. It's like I've never talked about this, but if you're sitting at a football stadium and you look out at the crowd, and I say, and then you look back at me, and I say, close your eyes, and you say, okay, and I say, all right, how many red shirts were in the crowd? Like, you would never know because you weren't focused on that. You didn't even notice how many red shirts there were, unless you went to like NC State and like it's all red, but just say in general. But if I told you ahead of time, all right, I want you to look out in the crowd and I want you to tell me how many red shirts are out there, you're focused on how many red shirts there are. So you see them all. It's kind of like it's the same thing like when you buy a car.
Yeah, but in that state, you'd be miserable at finding the blue shirts.
Right, exactly.
This is the point of multitasking. You can't multitask. You can only focus on one thing at a time. But you have to be super careful who frames your mind as to what to look at.
Right, exactly. That's kind of the funny thing about it. So just like you said, like if I said, how many red shirts are out there? And then you looked, and that was what you were focused on. And then later on that day, you were like, I said, how many blue shirts were there? Let's say 2 hours later, how many blue shirts? You would never know. This is kind of interesting, kind of going back to the point of why people can't remember what they ate is because they're not focused on what they ate.
Oh, yeah. Well, but exactly. But that's the whole point. Your attention's scarce. It's a scarce resource that you just can't literally be spreading all over the place. So you've got to try to direct it where you want it instead of other people directing it for you.
Right. This is interesting, and I think everybody has seen this happen to them before, but it's like when you go out and buy a car, a lot of, like myself and you know, a lot of other people, even buy shoes or clothes or anything, most of us in general try to be kind of individualistic or whatever and get something that's a little bit different than other people, you know, just to be unique. And what you'll see is that maybe before you never noticed that car was on the road, but once you start looking at that particular brand of car, you'll start seeing it everywhere.
Oh, 100%. Always. Like you'll always notice. Like I bet you most people know exactly how many of the same model car they drive that are in, you know, their vicinity when they routinely drive around. Like, you know, whatever car you drive, you probably always notice that same model if it goes by. You're like, hey, that person has the same car as me. Just because you're just aware of that car. Mm-hmm. But you'd probably have no clue about the other, you know, 200 models. Why the hell would you be noticing them?
Here's a perfect example of this. Oh, man, this is so funny because it happens to me all the time. Like, me and my girl, we'll be driving around or whatever. And have you ever played that punch bug game where, like, you see a punch bug and it hits you? I never win this game. Ever. Ever. Like, I'm like, driving along, or even if she's driving along, I get hit all the time. I never, ever,
notice
ever
them?
See punch bugs. No, I never see them. Ever.
And it just,
I'm always getting beat up. I mean, I know that sounds bad, but I'm always getting hit. It's just so funny because I have never had any interest in that type of car. They just totally go under my radar. And so that's kind of where we're kind of going back to with, you know, back with this flaw of social support and kind of pulling into with attention as well, and how your attention is so valuable. It is so valuable.
It's the most valuable thing anyone has.
It is the most exactly. It is
to you and to everyone around you.
Yeah, people, think about this. Here's something that'll screw with your mind. Companies are willing to pay trillions of dollars for something that you wastefully give away for free.
Yeah. Well,
how crazy is that?
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, because eventually, if they can capture it, it'll turn into money for them.
Like you'll give your attention away to somebody who doesn't care about you. You know, who's going to run all over you? Who's going to treat you bad? You'll give them their attention for free. And people will pay trillions of dollars for that same attention.
Right. Yeah, it's ironic, but attention's all we've ever been after.
Sure.
That's all people want, is that people want attention, and people only can give attention. It's the only actual real currency.
Right. As an example, I tell guys a lot of times, you know, when I was really writing on my dating blog and things like that, you know, guys would ask questions like, you know, something like, well, you know, I'm, you know, this girl's not treating me right or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, what do I need to do, say, or whatever? And I just said, you know, if somebody you know is acting up around you, chances are it's kind of a cry for attention. So by you giving them attention, they get what they want. That's what they were after.
Yeah, they're playing you like a marionette.
Right. So the answer isn't to give more attention. It's to take that attention away. Think about it. I dare you to go home. I mean, if you have a girlfriend, wife, kid, anything like this, I dare you to go home and for 24 hours not give anybody any attention at home and see what happens.
Oh, my God. They'd be calling counselors. There'd be, like, the family would be over for an intervention.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, because people get used to a certain level of attention from you and a certain kind. It's that powerful. The minute you, like, switch how you interact with people, everyone's up in arms. They're like, what's going on? Did I do something wrong? Is something wrong with them? Did I do something wrong? It's like, is there something wrong? It's like, something's up if it's not status quo with the attention. And that's a really good point. And parents know this, right? Like, they get into the battle with their kids over attention, and the kids just do whatever they can to get attention. And it's the whole, like, you know, at that 2-year-old stage, if that's the battle of wills between the parent and the kid to see who's going to win, right? But this, and so tying this all back into at least the concept of the Adonis effect is, and making a change in your body, it's the attention economy and what kind of attention you'd like to get and the attention you need to put into getting yourself there. So it's kind of the crabs in a bucket thing. If you've become solely 100% focused on improving the look of your body, and you've come at least around to our concept of it, all of a sudden, and this is why we say unsubscribe to other people's stuff, all of a sudden, like fiddling around with should you use kettlebells or, you know, weird nutrition ideas and, like, you know, ketogenic diets and, you know, supplements and all those other things don't fit into that mold anymore. So those people who are vying for your attention by, like, trying to, like, dangle, like, shiny new objects in front of you, like, you know, club bells and kettlebells and weird, you know, combat training, just all, whatever, just all of this stuff, like all of these, you know, fancy new toys. That's why we say unsubscribe, because that becomes a drain on your attention and moving your focus away from what your goal is.
Sure.
So, but if your goal is not our stuff, we're just going to be a drain on your attention that way, like the other way. Like if your goal is to just be a good MMA fighter, like I don't know why you'd be listening to us, because we don't know anything about that, and that's not our goal. And right. So I mean, you may find us entertaining, and that's just more than enough for you. But it's, you know, I don't know why you'd be like following our programs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, we're not trying to say listen to us because we rule, which we do. But that's not what we're trying to say. What we're saying is that if this is what you want to do, if your overall goal jives with what our overall goal is, then you should listen. This sounds bad. You should listen to us and unsubscribe from everybody else, right? Because that clarity of focus.
And yes, and give it an honest go.
Right, yeah.
And do what Brad was saying at the beginning of this thing was do it. Mastermind with people who are doing it. Do it, and then tell people what you've done. And by the end of an honest go, you know, by honest go on, you know, 12 weeks or whatever it is, if at that point you reevaluate and you're like, okay, I'll stick around for 12 more, this is good, then you keep going. If you're like, that was experiment over, move on to new experiment. But if you haven't done it and you haven't focused on it, and followed through with it, then you've done nothing. Your net displacement's nowhere. Then you know what I mean? Like, nothing's happened yet. Like, you got to do something to know if it's worth discarding or not.
Sure. And kind of the other thing about the, you know, the masterminding and stuff, that's why we have a forum, because that's everybody's in the same. Everybody goes and talks about and discusses same things in the same direction.
And that's a great point. And one guy in the forum, and this is, you know, by no means, if I can't place his name, but he brought up the concept of some very complex ketogenic carb cycling diet. And he started a thread, and he was, you know, and he was just in there explaining everything he was doing. And I mean, I couldn't even, it was very complex, the stuff he was trying to do, like cycling his proteins up and down and his carbohydrates. I couldn't even follow why he was trying to do any of this. And a bunch of people in the forum were a little bit perplexed. They were like, and he wasn't even following our workout. So he wasn't following our workout and none of our sort of nutrition guidelines, I suppose you could say. And so most other guys in the forum were really perplexed. They were like, why are you, like, no offense, and we're not attacking you, but why exactly are you here if you're not part, like, you're not doing any of what we're doing? And so this is a perfect example of looking for social support but not masterminding with like-minded people. And, I mean, the poor guy's not going to get any support on that diet, on that ketogenic diet, because no one here does it. No one on our forum does it. No one believes in it. No one even would bother trying it. And the one or two people who did have experience with that kind of diet just patently said, they just flatly said, you know, no offense, but I tried it. It was miserable and I would highly recommend not doing it. So, if you're listening, I apologize for not remembering your name, but, you know, people on our farm aren't being, unsupportive. They just don't get why you're doing that and don't get why you're bringing it up in an area where no one does that. Like, you should actually have brought that issue up on a forum where people do ketogenic diets so they can help you, because we can't. Like, all we can tell you is we tried that ages ago and it sucked for all of us and we're long since have dismissed it as a viable option. So, unfortunately, you're not going to find any support in our forum for it. Just not attacking you, just different. Like, it's, we just don't believe in it. And we gave it a go. Like, I did, Pilon did, lots of people in the forum have, and they've long since dismissed it as nothing of any value. So,
sure.
For us, I mean, you may love it, but you're not going to find anyone in our forum who's going to, we won't even know how to support you, because all we can come up with is how miserable it was for us and how much we didn't like it.
Right, and that's kind of where we're going.
But what's the whole point of this whole talk?
Yeah, that our attention is focused on two things: maximizing shoulder rate, maximizing your shoulders, minimizing your waist. Shoulders increase by exercise, more specifically progressive weight training. Waist goes down by nutrition, more specifically being a caloric deficit. Those are our focuses. And then the focus is, you know, obviously we've got for nutrition, you figure out a way to be able to live that way, to live in a deficit if you have to go down, and, you know, you use our stuff to actually work out. But that's the direction that we're going in. And so that's where our mastermind or our forum and all the people are there, that's everybody is going the same collective direction.
So if your goal is either of those things, It's a fantastic place to go. If your goal is not those two things, none of our forum will make sense.
Right, exactly. And that's not saying it's bad or good or better or worse or anything like that. It's just that this is what this collective experience and collective focus is going towards. And so if you have questions about things like, I tweak my shoulder, you know, I can't do this exercise. How about this one? You know, people there will probably have some same experiences and be able to be like, well, this is what I did. You know, this will probably help you out. John will be able to say the same thing. But that's what I'm saying, is that collective attention of that mastermind type group where everybody has the same goals, that's where that comes into play.
Yeah, every recommendation and every piece of advice is always assuming that's your goal, is to maximize your Adonis index ratio as quickly as possible.
Right.
Which, you know, in my biased opinion, is what I think 99% of everyone who's working out, at least guys, that's whether or not they even realize it, that's what every guy wants. They just want to look good. Big, muscular, they want to be muscular and lean. And so my definition of that without drugs is the AI ratio.
Sure. And of course, you know, basically we could say, unless somebody has a specific performance goal like fighting, running, you know, cycling, running marathons, that type of deal, yeah.
Or powerlifting or strength goals. Those are completely different things.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If your goal is to look good and garner the most positive attention,
then that's what we're up to.
Yeah, that's the whole deal, because that's a commodity. Not the commodity. Well, I guess you could consider it a commodity, really. Attention kind of is a commodity for some people. But
well, yeah, I feel like we're just talking about the whole story again, but the whole point of changing your – nobody works out for health. People work out because it looks good. Health is a side effect of looks, which you know, it nicely fits together that a healthy body also is a good-looking body. So that's – you know, vanity serves you well in this particular instance. But it's also also the pull you have in the attention economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, if a girl that's a hard 10 walks into a bar, all eyes are on her and she can do whatever the hell she wants. And that's the power of attention. Like money ceases to be an issue for someone like that, because she'd be like, I'd like a drink. And there'd be about 10 different guys saying, what kind of drink? You know,
right.
And, you know, people get given breaks based on how they look. It's not fair, but it's true. So you might why not be the person getting the breaks?
Yeah, and I was reading, I've been reading a bunch of different psychological stuff over the past, oh God, you know, 6 months, but I've been reading something interesting over the past couple of days, and it's talking about genetic fitness and talking, and really more going into biology and talking about things like peacocks and, you know, other, you know, animals that actually display genetic fitness by doing things that are that it is obvious that it took a lot of work to do. So like a peacock with this big pluming tail, it is obvious that, you know, this he is like king of peacocks because he's got this big old thing on him that he has to, I mean, it's obvious that he can avoid predators and he has good genes and stuff because he's carrying around this huge tail and he's still alive. Same thing with working out is like if when someone sees a guy that has a fit body, they know intrinsically right there the amount of work it took for a person to get that body. So intrinsically, and what's implied, there's a certain genetic fitness implied in that. Not necessarily health benefited, or not necessarily health related, but also as far as being able to be, you know, consistent, being able to be able to apply yourself,
having a high sense of self-worth.
Yeah, exactly. All these other things are intrinsically implied within this, and this is displayed. It kind of goes back into the whole thing of testing and why people test other people. Like one of the big things in the dating niche is that why do women test? Well, they want to see if you're a fake or not. It's the same way where if somebody gives you a gold coin or a diamond earring just out of the blue for free, the first thing you're going to do is take it to a jeweler to see if it's real. Well, that's what people do all day long, is that if you come across and you seem to be confident, but you don't display any of the other indicators that would be confident, that would display confidence, if you don't have any of those other indicators that would, you know, like if, you know, dressed well or whatever, of course, you're going to get tested. People are going to say things and do things to try to validate whether this package that you're presenting is true and authentic or if it's fraudulent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that's the point. That's the whole point. My thing is that if someone tests you, let's say if a woman tests you, like if you walk up to her and she says something to you and is looking to get your response, what you would view as a test, I would take that as a compliment because she has, and anyone else in general, has thought enough of you that they need to find out if who you are is real or not.
And getting back to the attention economy, that test is just, is there, how if you, whether or not you pass that test is the signal for them to either channel more attention at you or cut you off.
Sure. Huh? I know we're going on a bunch of tangents on this. Attention and, you know, social support, but this all of this stuff really ties in together when we're talking about the grand scheme of who you are and where you want to be as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's ultimately what it is where your life ends up is basically the summation of where your attention has been over your life.
And exactly. And we're trying to point out that you can. If you're not aware of how your attention's be directed, you're just going to be tugged in a bunch of directions you never chose.
Sure.
And then the more you take control of it, the more you can steer the next step of your life where you want it to go.
Mm-hmm. So just as monetarily for the vast majority of people, barring any just absolute crazy stuff that would happen, like, you know, an earthquake or something like that, God forbid. But for the majority of people, the actual shape of your body right now is the summation of where you've put your attention in regards to health and fitness. The amount of money in your bank account right now is the summation of where you've put your attention, you know, overall. The spouse you have, again, all these things, as a general rule, are the summation of where you're, basically who you are as a person right here, right now, is the summation of where your attention has been. And of course, this comes back to decisions and stuff. But where your attention goes basically kind of make, I don't want to say it kind of makes the decision for you, but it really greases the slide very effectively.
Yep.
So.
And then I suppose if you stop and think about it, I actually had this revelation with a buddy when we were finished our undergrads at university. He's like, he just asked me point blank one day, he's like, why did you even come to school for this degree? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I wasn't thinking about a career choice. All I knew was I was really interested in exercise and nutrition and human biology. And I just thought learning about it would be really cool. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh no, I'm done a degree, but I don't really know how I can monetize that. And like, I never once thought about it from the standpoint of like, am I going to be employable afterwards? I just spent all those years learning interesting stuff. So I kind of was like, damn it. I was just focused on learning. I wasn't focused at all on the concept of like, can I actually make money with this? So it was, and he's like, yeah, me too. He's like, we're both idiots. We probably should have just started a company right out of high school. I'm like, yeah, probably. But that's not what we were focused on. We didn't get that part at all. So
I was the same way. I went to school. I've got a degree in aerospace engineering. I was actually going to grad school. And when I started looking at it, I started to realize, I was like, man, I'm going to end up in this big old company because that's really the only people that employ people with my type of degree. And if I'm lucky, I'll work for 6 to 7 years and then maybe a position will open up where I might be able to get promoted if I hustle. And, at the end of 10 years, I could be doing okay. And when I realized that's kind of where it was going to be, that's when I quit. I was like, man, yeah, dude, that's not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so up until then, because I liked what I was doing, I liked writing code, I liked doing all this stuff, my attention was all on this type of stuff. But then when I realized where my decisions were leading me, and the life where the decisions were leading my life, ultimately, I just said, you know what? That's not what I want. And the decision was easy. And actually, it was essentially made for you. The what to do was, or at least one part of it was, well, it's obvious this is not what I want, so I need to get out of this. I don't want to say par for the course, but it wasn't like I had to agonize over it. Once you decide what you want, that part's easy.
Yeah. And then afterwards, you get busy doing whatever else it is that you're going to do.
Right. So, I mean, if you decide, it's kind of like weight loss. It's kind of like you decide. You're like, all right, well, I'm seeing that all the decisions that I've been making up until this point have led to me being 50 pounds overweight. This is how I was. Same thing. I mean, it's like, I'm not making fun of people because I've lost what 35 pounds or whatever overall, and you kind of get to the point where like all these things that I was doing before, all the harebrained theories that I was trying, all this other stuff. I mean, I'm telling you these things from personal experience, not from just made up theory, but all of the things that I was doing led to the fact of me being 35 pounds overweight. And then there was this cognitive dissonance thinking that it was all muscle at the same time. Because again, these are the things that were going around. And then I finally decided, I was like, all right, well, I talked to John, talked to Brad, and I was like, this is the direction I want to go. They seem like they have it together. I'm going to do it this way. And then all of the decisions, once I made that decision, went off of that, and they were easy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it was just a matter of where I chose to put my attention.
The emotional labor is the is what you said, facing your dissonance and recognizing that you put yourself exactly where you are right now, and mm-hmm. that you're like, oh, clearly I steered this ship to this point. How do I, re-aim this thing to a different point? And then like you said, afterwards, it's actually not that. It's relatively simple afterwards to just take action in the right direction. The getting over the hump is the emotional stress of being like, oh, that was me that put me here in the first place.
Yeah.
And that, and avoiding that introspection holds people frozen in place for decades.
Sure. I almost liken it to, the way like test taking in school is like either you pass or fail, or you're good or you're bad, or you're getting graded throughout life. Whereas like, once I saw where I was at and I kind of came to grips with the decisions and all that stuff, And you kind of sit back and you go, well, the culmination of all the decisions that put me here, but this doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Doesn't mean I'm an idiot. It just means I have this specific result. Doesn't mean I failed or I'm a failure. I can change it.
Oh, yeah, it's just cause and effect. There's no such thing as good or bad. There's just where you are and what you've done so far and what you'll do next.
Sure. I mean, yeah, again, yeah, good and bad is all basically through the lens of what you look at. Like mob bosses and stuff, a lot of them don't think they do bad things.
No, they think the government and everything else around them is bad and that they're the only ones doing it right.
Yeah, and they're providing a viable service. They think that, you know, that prostitution is a great thing, you know, that drugs are a good thing because people are, that this is what they want. They're just giving people what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so from their perspective, it's...
Yeah, they don't consider it a black market. They consider it a free market. And to a large degree, I would agree with that because who's to say what's right or wrong? If people want something and you provide it for them, what's actually so wrong about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyways, now we're treading into moral ground. And
going moral and immoral. But again, it's still going back to attention. And let's the reason we, like I say, the reason we flow back into attention is because this overriding flaw of what I consider social support and why just getting what I call generic social support, that would be social support from just your current friends, family, and things like that, just in general isn't going to work for you. What you need is more of a mastermind of like-minded people that are going in the same direction that you're going. Those are the people that you tell what you're trying to do. Those are the people that you tell, you know, where your hang-ups are. Those are also the people that aren't going to try to judge you because you're going against the grain of conventional, quote-unquote, conventional wisdom and running that way. So that was kind of the main point of what we started on.
Yeah, well, and that's, I think that's a good way to wrap it up. It's social support as a blanket thing. It doesn't work. You have to mastermind with like-minded people. And so, you know, for us, that we just think it's maximizing the look and shape of your body to maximize the quality of the attention you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, a perfect example before we close off. I only talk to two people about what I'm doing as far as changing my body. That's John and Brad. That's it. I don't talk to anybody else. Nobody else even knows other than if I post something on Facebook or whatever, just being funny. Nobody knows. Nobody has a clue.
Even
my girlfriend doesn't even really, really know. She just knows I go to the gym.
Hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, the minute you pull another person in, they could say, well, you know, I don't know if that's the best idea. Maybe try this or maybe try that. And, I don't know, what are you doing that? Yeah. So it's just, yeah, stick with one thing and follow it through to at least some degree of completion and then decide whether or not it's worth staying with or moving on from.
Right. And before we sign off, I want you to picture this for a second. Picture this. I am in my house, and my girlfriend walks around the corner, and she sees me taking a spoonful of creatine. Now, she knows what I do. She knows what I do for a living. She knows all of this stuff. She knows that I likely know what I'm doing in regards to that. Yet, when she sees me put that spoonful in my mouth, I still get a weird look.
Hmm.
You see? Yeah. So if people know that this is what I do and I still get weird looks, what's that going to say for you when you're going? And I have much more authority on the subject than you do. Not you, John, but you, when you're listening. I mean, right. This is what we do. You know, and I actually tell people, I'm like, look, I've got the best minds on the planet that I talk to about this stuff, and I still get pushback. Imagine how it's going to be for you, just kind of, you know, I mean, you've got your own expertises and things like that, and imagine how it's going to be for you when you do the same thing. So that's all we're saying, is that there's blowback on this stuff, and you have to guard yourself against that. And the best way to do it is just not to tell anybody what you're up to. Until you find like-minded individuals that are going in the same direction you're going.
Yeah, well, I think that's good for today. I mean, that's the best way to wrap it up.
Yeah, man. All right, guys, so that's all we got. Like I say, if you like this and you want to subscribe on iTunes, it's aelinks.com/iTunes. And for John Barber, I am Brad Howard, and this is your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.